If all who are able could stand now, let's have a tribute for Memorial Day. So if you could stand. We enter into this Memorial Day surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. We remember, first of all, the women and men who are currently serving in the armed forces, and we pray for their safe return. We also acknowledge that there are women and men who will not return, and we give grief, and we grieve their passing in prayer. We pause to honor their service and their sacrifice. We also pause to give thanks for all who served in the nation's armed services. While we cannot imagine the experience of war, we do recognize war's aftermath and toll on the human heart, and continually hold you in our prayers. We remember and acknowledge lost, and in particular, those whom we had loved and lost. We hold their names and faces in our mind's eyes and in our hearts. We recall the gifts they gave us through the strength of their being, the depth of their love, and the courage of their dying, and the fullness of their living. In this holy moment, please remain together in silence as a tribute to their memory. And now, if you would join me in the prayer of remembrance, printed in the bulletin. O holy and gracious God, help us to remember. Help us to remember the sacrifice bravely made in which one has given life for another and for all. Help us to remember those that stand in the breach where there is trouble and in which conflict threatens to undo your good creation. Help us to remember that we look for the day when every sword will be replaced by a plow, that all may be fed and live in your peace. Forgive us every sin that makes for the division and for war, and bring us all into your kingdom on earth as in heaven. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
In the shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life, say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock in whom I trust, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. The snare of the fowler will never capture you, and famine will bring you no fear. Under his wings your refuge, his faithfulness your shield. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. You need not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Though thousands fall about you, near you it shall not come. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. For to his angels he's given a command to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you. And hold you, and hold you in the palm of his hand, of his hand.
Thank you, Bob. Make sure I have everything straight. Don't want to forget something this time. Our scripture lesson, our second scripture lesson this morning comes from Matthew 28, verses 16 through 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
If you'll look at the bulletin, and I asked Jeff to do this, it doesn't say sermon. It's message. And this is a message from your lay leader this morning. I've had few things that I wanted to report to the church and felt like this was a great opportunity to do it. Number one, want everyone to know that the annual conference for the North Carolina Methodist Conference will be June 16th through the 18th. It will be in Greenville, North Carolina. And I'm very excited about representing Long Memorial again. And wanted everyone to know that there is a wonderful webpage that will keep you updated on what's going on. So, and they also will broadcast some of it on that webpage. So if you want to keep up about the church's business, what's going on the week of June 16th through the 18th, check out the webpage, because it's a lot of exciting and new news you can get from that. So that will start June 16th. Also wanted to report on our fun day. You know, we called it fun day because we thought not only did we want to raise money, but we also wanted the church to have fellowship together. And I think we've succeeded in both. In the fellowship hall, when you see everybody working together and enjoying and producing, it just seems a fellowship has come together. You know, we met, the committee originally met in the winter of 2013. It was a snowy day. Of all times to kick this off, we had to go home with snow on the road. The idea was that, and Claudia Berryhill had this idea of why don't we have a silent auction with a supper to raise money, because we were always saying we need more money. So we decided we were going to give it a chance, and after planning and put it on, it came out very successful. We then realized that the pledge campaigns were about to expire on the loan for our building project, and that this was a good way to do it rather than having another pledge, just continue the fund day to apply on the note and also to help with the payments on it. So that we've had four now. This last one, the church will net somewhere between $30,000 and $31,000. I can remember when we first started talking about this note that we had for this project, we were talking about $625,000. Well, I'm happy, and I am happy, to report that as of next month, it will be under $300,000. So it's been a very successful campaign since we've started this. Thank all of y'all for your support. Please continue sponsoring and offering items for silence, because it's so important to the church, because we have ambitious goal to get the note paid off, and that's to do some mission work with this money. Just think what this church could do if we could use these funds to in our community and worldwide with mission work. So I want to thank the committee. As I say, it's a lot of planning and there's a lot of time put into it, and I want to thank the committee. Jim Owen, Will Carver, Nancy Newell, Lynn Cates, Jesse Saunders, Danny Bumpus, Connie White, and Claudia Berryhill, Chris Atkins, Billy Oakley, and Jeff Nash. And I thank them for their time, and I thank y'all for all y'all's support. Some of y'all know, and not everyone knows, that for the last year and a half, I have been in a leadership program with the preacher. And it's called the Leadership Fellows Program, which is out of Raleigh under the Academy for Leadership Excellence. It's a program that is part of the conference. You have to fill out an application. I hadn't done that in a long time. You had to have two references. And then once you are approved, it's a pastor and a lay leader from each church. And we had 12 churches, I think, in the beginning. Right now we have 10. We want 20 on our team. And you commit to going to this class 2 days a month for 2 years. And as I say, we do take 2 months off for summer. We finished our May class last week, and we'll be through. We have two more classes, then one retreat. But it's been a very learning experience for me. The first year, you self-examine yourself. I'll list some of the courses we had in our first year: self-awareness and self-care, servant leadership and communication, relationship and team building. That was interesting. One of the exercises we had, one member of the two men teams had to be blindfolded. So we had 10 people blindfolded and 10 leaders. We had to go up a set of steps and had to do a project, put something together with the blind folks being led by the ones that can see. Now, that was an experience, because these things were professional blinders they put on us, because I couldn't, it was so dark. Jeff had me, I was the one blind. And going up steps was a hard deal for me. But we working as a team fooled the teacher, and we all had success in putting the building together. But that was a bending one, an important one. We went through conflict management. We went through managing people, leading change, ministry action planning. So all that was part of the first year's program. And then after we went through the first year and quit examining ourselves, this year we're learning how to put it in action. We're having ministers and people associated with churches talking to us now. And now we're going to put it into action and using leadership skills. One of the first classes we had, I remember, it's one test that came out, one idea came out that I never had thought of. They drew a circle, and inside the circle they drew a little circle. And they said, this is your brain. And says the outside of your brain is all emotion decisions. To get to the intellectual decisions, you have to get to the middle of your brain. And we have to learn as leaders to get through that layer of emotions and get to the intelligence of it. And I think about that many times because I think a whole lot of people ought to take that class now, especially some of our leaders of our country. But you just think about how you can react so quick to things. It's given me time to talk to other lay leaders, other pastors, and to see how other churches are, what they're doing in their programs. One of the things I have noticed in one of these surveys that came back is about the millenniums. I'm just learning about what a millennium is, but I understand it's something like you're born in the 80s. And it talks to them, they are not going, a lot of the percentages are not going to organize churches anymore. And it talks about what churches and what we need to do, as the scripture says, to go out and make disciples of men. A lot of them are doing a lot of different things. They're having different groups. One church has a group of four guys that play the guitar. And they get together and play the guitar on a weekly basis and then have grown to of devotions together and share their ministry with their church. But it could be all kinds of ideas of these groups. They've talked very highly of that. The same Gallup survey that looked at the millennials also found that the small churches were losing memberships and a lot of them were dying. But the mega churches were growing and at a fast rate. So they looked deeper into that to see exactly what's going on. And they found that the millennials were more, felt like more of an old-time church with the mega church because they had small groups. They had mission groups, like the guitar group, and they had an identity to a small group. They didn't have the identity to the large church, but the activities and the mission work made them feel more important and part of this mega church. And I thought that was an interesting fact. So in going through this and going through this leadership training, one day we ride back from Raleigh and boom, I had a vision. I said, you know, Longmore, it's time we'd have to take a survey. And the first thing I thought about was the young adults. And it's hard to describe who a young adult is. I think we got 18 and 19 to 40 something or that. But to get their ideas, you know, when you go around and talk to other churches and we tell them about Miss Pam having 25 young ones down here, it's a whole lot of churches in our area that are jealous of us. But we need to keep that interest, keep that focus. We want to make sure that the young adults and everybody else, you know, I love everything I say is not against what we have now. I love what we got. I love 11 o'clock. I told 8:45 I love them and their service. But if anything we can do to continue supporting other folks, getting a message out, I want us to look at. So this thing next Sunday after at 12 o'clock after the 11 o'clock service is to start conversations. We're starting with the young adults. Then after we get that feedback, we'll get to a church-wide discussion and start just looking at areas that we might need to focus on. Don't have any agendas. It's a different day. You can tell by, I got grandchildren that got iPads and don't know how to use them than I do. They're getting their information different. You know, when I came to school, we had a chalkboard and a book. Now there's video presentations, and there's some great learning experiences with these video presentations. When we have our classes in Eden Street, every classroom in that church, which that's a large church, but every classroom has a TV and is connected to the internet. And you can have a 3-minute snippet of an inspirational speech to start a conversation. There's just so many ways we can do things different that it's time to take a look and just see. So I hope everybody will, the young adults will go. I hope that once we go to the next level in the church and listen to the church's input, that we'll grow with this and we can expand our programs and have an opportunity to be disciples to our community. That's my message. It's simple. I love Longmore Memorial. I want it to keep growing. I don't want us to dry up like you read in some of these surveys. I want us to stay active and show love to one another. So I thank you for your time this morning.